In the following live session recording, Zachariah Sainer, ministry consultant for Royal Ambassadors Youth on Mission and Challengers with National WMU in Birmingham, leads the session entitled, Tell the Story. The listener will hear how to empower kids to be on mission for Christ and to give them the tools they need to confidently share the gospel with everyone they meet. Let's join Zachariah now.
Well, welcome everyone to Tell the Story. My name is Zachariah Sainer. I work at the National WMU office in Birmingham. So I'm very excited to be here in the village today. My folks live in Alpharetta, so it's kind of like coming home. Although I will say, I haven't been to South Georgia very often. We went on a couple field trips when I was a kid, so that's kind of all I know, but it's really nice to be here. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about storytelling and the power of a good story. Hopefully all of us can think of stories in our lives that we've heard over the years, maybe as a child, maybe as an adult, that have really shaped who we are as people. Maybe taught us an important lesson, maybe made us laugh, maybe made us cry, I don't know. But I'm going to tell a story right now that has meant a lot to me, because it just brings me joy every time I think of it. And every time I tell it, it's incredible. So as I'm telling this story, I want you guys to think of a story that's impacted you in some way. If you're ready to be a storyteller yourself. I already got one volunteer picked out, so be ready. And this story is 100% true. Okay, for the recording, it's not true. So one day, my dad and I were driving down the highway. We were going to go visit somebody at the hospital in North Georgia, and somebody from our church that had gotten sick, and so we were going to go up there and see how they were doing. But as we were driving up 400, or down 400, I don't know which way it would be. I was very young, and I didn't understand directions. We noticed this ambulance coming up behind us. It was weaving in and out of cars, back and forth. I mean, just really booking it. And so we tried to get over, but it was up on us before we could do anything about it. And it swerved around us, swerved in front of us. And as it swerved in front, the back doors of the ambulance opened up. And this huge ice chest, like a igloo cooler, fell out and burst all over the highway. So we skidded off the road to try to avoid this huge mass of ice. And then we looked ahead and we were like, oh man, like, did they see it fall out? But no, they just kept going. They weaved in and out of another car and the door shut and just kept going. Both cars are buzzing by. And finally, there's a little bit of break in the traffic. So my dad and I go over and we're like, what if this is like a heart transplant? Or like something super vital, like a brain transplant. I don't know what you transplant, something important. So we're digging through the ice. And finally, I find in a Ziploc bag a human toe. Right? Kind of shocking. And I'm like, Dad, what do we do with this? What are we supposed to do? I mean, somebody loses toe, like they're gone? Like who's don't have to match the toe? Like Cinderella's shoes? Like who knows? Like whose toe this is? It's exactly the only thing that we can do in this situation is all toe. I love that story. It serves no purpose other than to make people laugh. You know? But some stories like that really do mean something after a while. And the more you tell it, the more it becomes part of who you are. And so I'm a little corny, if I'm a little silly sometimes, because I've told the story too many times. Another story that I was always told by my great-grandmother was more of a cautionary tale. She didn't like us playing around in the drainage ditches around her house, and she wanted to make sure that we were safe, so she made up this story about the infamous hoop snake. Have y'all ever heard of a hoop snake? I hadn't either. Turns out they're not real. But at the time, they seemed real. This was a snake that was so crafty that it would bite the end of its tail and roll up into a circle and roll and chase little kids that were in ditches, and then let go of their tail and shoot out little barbs and sting children. That kept me out of the ditch, y'all. It wasn't real, but that story had power for a little kid, you know? Because I thought, man, something scary. So you've heard a couple of stories. One cautionary tale, one for fun. What's a story that's meant something to you in your life?
I'm sitting here thinking, wow.
And even if you can't remember the story proper, maybe you can just tell us the elements.
The elements of the story. Okay, my very first mission trip to Ecuador was quite an adventure. And we worked in two different areas. We did an Indian Bible school in Apache, which is about 10,000 feet elevation, which is crazy. And we took a bunch of teenagers. My daughter was one, she was 14, they were like 14 and 15, and they were so close. Well, at the end of the week, the people were so appreciative of us. Bible school and events, conference, and things like that. So they prepared this wonderful meal, and it, I mean, piles of fruit, and that they brought from the coast, and potatoes, and just the finest things. And on our plate was a piece of meat. And we told all of the girls, and one of those little claw, and so we told all of the girls that it was guinea chicken. That it was a quarter of a chicken, it was a guinea chicken. And when we got in the van, we did tell them that it was actually guinea pig.
Oh.
And it really was.
Yeah.
They raised guinea pigs, quick, for that's a delicacy in Ecuador.
Yeah.
And so that's, but we could not tell them that in front of our hosts.
Right.
Yeah.
What would that be like, two chicken nuggets?
No, it was actually a quarter of a toilet.
Well, see, that's an example of a story of something that really did happen.
Yes.
You know, that stuck with you and has, you know, told some truth about how much you need to share.
And I learned sometimes don't make sure all you know.
Absolutely. Okay, any other stories? Maybe things that actually happened?
Or... It is delicious, by the
way. Okay. It is good.
It is
good.
I've had some.
Yeah, that's great. And so maybe it's a story that really happened that stuck with you, or maybe it's a story that, like mine, wasn't necessarily true, but it told the truth. It told some people the truth. What other stories do you have? Lauren.
My husband's a great storyteller. We've lived so long. Mine are just funny experiences, I guess. Like, my most embarrassing moment growing up was I danced and I was always in competitions. And we had one that was kind of an embarrassing costume. We were a popcorn. I don't know if you've ever heard the song Popcorn. There's no words, it just sounds like stuff bouncing, you know? And so we were dancing to that song, and at the end, we all needed to roll off the stage different directions. And I was in the middle, so I was the last to roll off the stage. But instead of rolling straight toward the curtain, I started rolling toward the orchestra pit.
Yep.
And I didn't realize it, but I did hear like gasps across the audience. And so I stood up in time.
Never a good time.
So I stood up in time and just waved as I walked off stage. So that was embarrassing. I mean, I was 7 or 8 years old, but for the longest time, that was one of those embarrassing moments. I'm sure I've topped it since.
But see, that's a story of formations. You know, it's something that stuck with you. Be careful when you're dancing to this popcorn song.
Right.
You might fall into an orchestra. Okay, one more story. Let's look for one that maybe you heard as a kid. Maybe you had a grandmother or grandfather that told you these kind of stories and stuck with you. Anything, anybody. Or maybe you heard the story at camp.
There is something interesting that exists at camp that my girls swear is real.
At Camp Pinnacle in North Georgia, we have a lake that's man-made, and there are some massive fish that live in this lake. I don't know what they are, carp or something. And the lodge is the place where, like, the dining hall, the gym, the lodge rooms, like hotel rooms are. And there's a balcony, because it's two stories, and there's a balcony that looks over, you can really see into the lake. And from the lake, when you're looking in, I mean, from the balcony, when you're looking into the lake, they look even bigger. Like, they're there. It just looks so huge out there. And we tell the girls that kayaks, we, I don't know when this started, there's a tradition of telling them that they're beaver sharks that live on the lake. And you cannot get, that's why we don't swim in the lake, because a beaver shark will get you. That's why we bring kayaks. We have to stay in the kayak, because you do not want to mess with a beaver shark. And the girls, and we've had missionaries get in on it, like Bill Barker, backpacks. He was a great storyteller too, and he was, because when they were eating their snacks on that balcony, they can look out and see how big those things look out there, and they just go home believing it. And this is insane, I don't know if you know about this. A camper, last summer, told her mom that she fell out of the kayak and was bitten by a beaver shark.
She was convinced. This is a beaver shark.
So she never fell out of the kayak. Like, it was total tall tale. But her mom called the health department, who called our administrator. And it's like, beaver sharks do not exist. It was this big
hoopla.
It was so
funny. Huge.
Y'all, stories shape who we are as people, and they always have. People have gathered around fires for thousands of years, probably as long as there have been people. So Adam and Eve probably told stories and campfires. I guess for them it wouldn't be a campfire, it'd just be a fire. I don't really know how that works. Anyway, but they've been telling stories, and long before people ever wrote anything down, they were telling these stories over generations. And even today, most people around the world pass on this history, pass on these cautionary tales of beaver sharks through oral storytelling. So that should tell us that there's something about a good story that sticks with somebody. The stories can change and morph over time, but the best stories hold on to those central truths that are trying to be told and shared to generations. And you can see that in Bible times. You got the writings of these different stories that have been told generation after generation. Thankfully, we've gotten to the Holy Spirit, working through these people to write these things down. But by and large, not everyone had their own personal Bible that they were telling these stories out of every night. They would have a priest or somebody who's in charge of the scripture, the sacred text. They would read it, and then it was up to those people that heard it to then tell those stories the best way that they could. So details maybe sometimes weren't always, 100% of them. More of what the story was about, the very heart of the faith of people is preserved generation after generation. Jesus even told stories. His parables, just another word for story, to illustrate points, to illuminate truths about who he was and how we're supposed to act as people. So if Jesus told stories, I think we can tell stories too. That's important. So when you're telling stories, to me, it's important to tell these kind of stories that are fun and stories or whatever, but the most important stories that you can tell are stories from our scriptures, from the whole Bible, because those are the very foundation of who we are as Christians. The stories make up who we are. And in fact, the Jewish people have preserved their history and their story of being liberated from Egypt by Moses. To this day, every good Jewish student, every good Jewish person that's studying the scriptures when they have their Bar Mitzvah knows this story. I don't think that you could not know the story of Moses and still call yourself like a Jew. If that makes sense. And so for us, what are those stories for us? They're stories about Jesus. The story about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are what make us Christians. That story transforms our lives in a way that's not unchangeable, or that's unique in the world. I think that that's important to know. So as you guys are telling stories to your kids, keep that in mind. What stories are you telling them, and are you making sure that you tell them the stories from our scriptures? Before I go any further, I want to give you guys a chance to get to know each other a little bit better. I really enjoy meeting you guys. I know that the different staff members enjoy meeting you, but I feel like it's important when we come together like this that we meet each other, because you never know who in a different town is going to be sitting across from you that has a like mind and a like heart for these children. So we would go through and maybe say your name, where you're from, how you're serving, and one thing that you want to bring from this conference, not this one in particular, but in general, back to where you're from.
I'm Sheila Lindblad. I'm from Garden City, Georgia, just outside of Savannah. I serve a lot of different roles in our churches. I'm sure most of you do. You know, when you take one on and you do it well, then you give it to another. but I do kids' church with our kids and on children's committee, so I plan a lot of the quarterly activities that we have for our children. The one thing that I want to take away from the conference, I guess, is how to bring more kids into what we already do. How to make this a catalyst, I guess, for the next generation. And I am in the process of mentoring two younger women now. So trying to get them enthusiastic and involved and ways to kind of bridge that, I think, the generation.
I'm Karen Pace, and I serve on the staff of Georgia Baptist Women. So thank you for the gifts that you make here in church. The tithing goes to the Foster Program that supports both Tabitha and I, that we get to focus for, you know, full time on supporting our Georgia Baptist churches. But I think what I want to walk away with is just insight on how we can better support you in being successful in the roles that God's called you to. Especially in the area of, you know, believe in this class of preschool and children, but just in general, in connecting with other people in your community and church and around the world, we want to walk alongside you and help you fulfill that. So that's one of the things I just love, the connections that we have with you.
I'm Kathy Farrell, on staff also with Perfect Women, and my role is I'm the camp director of Camp Pinnacle, our girls' missions camp in Reagan County, and I'd love to have some girls from your churches come to camp. We just would undergird what you're already doing with missions by creating an experience for them where they're learning about missionaries, our missions, and meeting missionaries. And in my church, I teach missions to the kids, kindergarten through fifth grade, once a month. And so just personally, too, I want to walk away with something that I can add to that.
Lauren Collins, I'm from Olive Branch Baptist in Belleville, and I'm a GA leader. I love the theme of Story Together for our whole training this weekend. Because I'm reading a lot of books, and my husband is a great storyteller. But I love how everybody's story comes together. Like things that happened to previous generations, how that affects my generation, and how it will affect future generations. How what's going on in your church might be affecting my church. And, my favorite thing. To learn from each other.
I'm Brenda Brack, and I'm in Countryside. I just recently started there, so I'm going to be involved in a good news club. And passions is my heart. I've been, missions is my passion, is what I should say. I've been on several mission trips out of country and in country. And what I hope to gain from this is to be able to give an enthusiasm to the girls about sharing their story. Growing, like that. I love to share about the Lord, and I want, we need our younger generation to get that in their heart as well.
I know this is something I'm also working on. I'm also working with the Dead News Club, and now, so I'm proud to be there for second grade girls.
Shannon Powell from Hillcrest Church, and that's where we're from. Being over the women's ministry for the last 4 or 5 years, and just recently taking on the new role of Sunday school teaching with the fifth graders starting September 1st. So I'm here as a student to absorb as much as I can. But I've already been just immensely blessed just from last night with the sessions I attended. And I guess I've taken on a new vision that I'm not just going to be in that Sunday school room for 45 minutes to an hour to babysit. Or try to force a Bible story on these children and just hope that something sticks. But I'm more so there to invest in their lives and get to know them one-on-one and form that relationship that they won't get in corporate worship. And so it's already just been a huge blessing. Just here to take, just gather all the notes.
Lisa Thompson. I'm from the Wamaka, Georgia, Baptist, where I'm a pianist and I've taught missions about the school forever. I've been doing missions with children once a month because nobody else is going to do it. So if it's going to get done, by golly, here we go. So, but I enjoy events like this on Faith Connect. I'm president of Georgia WD, and it gives me the opportunity to meet women so that I can go back and support in whatever way possible, which is discipleship and encouragement to discipleship the churches across the state.
I'm Nikki Mullis. I'm from Wharton, Georgia. And, my family we had had a crest on our heart to go back to a church that we had visited when we first moved to where we live. And it's 2 months before the first of the church year, little did we know. And we get there and everybody's like tired. Meaning, the few younger ones, you know, have been carrying the load and they're like, fresh meat. And he's like, no, you don't understand. I've been the one shadowing, like trying to get my life straight because I had so much in common with the guy that we just heard. And so I've been sitting under, you know, people. And so anyway, I'm going to help with GAs and Women on Missions. that's what I'm about. And my takeaway is to learn how to do something. Yeah. And it's like you said, it's so important to invest the relationships. And my heart is kids that come from broken homes that have to deal with the things that are going on in school. You know, and you're so much worse now than even when we were in school. And so that's my takeaway, and that's where I want to go back and be able to do. All the help that's been given to me, I want to give it back.
I'm Sharon Wright. I'm from Pompey Baptist Church in White Falls, Georgia. My husband is pastor of that church. We're a small country little church. And kind of like you, I feel like we're going on 8 years now, but when we first went there, it was like, oh, yay! I have a heart and a passion for missions and Vacation Bible School. And so my first leadership role was becoming VBS director, because if not, we would not have VBS that year. And so, and I love it, so I took on that role. And last year I didn't do it because of some health concerns. And I had somebody that took it and did a one day VBS. But it broke my heart because the one thing that they left out of that one day VBS was mission. Park it off. We don't have time for that. Well, myself being a pastor's wife, my husband, the first thing he said was, Sharon, you keep your mouth shut, don't you say that's what I mean, that was a big thing for me. So, now this year, I've taken back on the role for VBS director. My health is better, and they were all like, are you going to do it again, Sherry? I'm like, pray for me that the Lord helps me do it, but yes, we're going to do it again, and we will have missions. But I am the children's leader of our Sunday school division, and we don't have RIAs, GIAs. We have Awana's ministry. Which, you know, Awana's is a great industry,
yep.
But the part that they don't take it,
that's right, it's a totally different
the missions part that gets left out. So, like Lisa said, I think it would be awesome to have one Wednesday night a month set aside for, okay, tonight's going to be missions night, have a special guest in speaker, or just somebody from our community that has a testimony that's been on missions and what have you, that everybody doesn't have that passion. And so what my takeaway is to try to, what can I do to get people to have that passion without overstepping my boundaries and saying, pastor's wife is trying to, we need to do this. So just kind of be in the background and suggest it. But
I'm having to learn RAs and GAs.
Yeah.
I had no clue
what
RAs and GAs.
Well, see, I grew up RAs and GAs. My kids grew up RAs and GAs. And so when we came into the where we're at now, it was Awana.
Yes.
It's been different from this.
Sure. Yeah.
I taught GAs, but my kids were.
Well, it's important for all of us to get to know each other and to really take some time to do that, because you need to know that you're not alone. You know, sometimes, and I feel this way sometimes, I'm like, man, am I carrying this load all by myself? No. You're surrounded by people who all have the same passion and the same desire for missions or just for children in general that you do. And you can, you know, connect with each other and support each other. I think that's important. Baptists are independent people. We can't lose that independence. But we come together in common things like this. You know, this is the whole reason why we're here.
And I'm also the one in our church that promotes all the light moon and the
I'm the one that has to give
and say, that time to give.
That's great. Well, so we're talking about story. We're talking about the importance of our stories from the Bible in particular. And I want to introduce you to a resource that might help you with that, with your children's groups. This is called Tell the Story. And what it is, you may recognize this year, this is Bible Story in Cloth. It's very popular with a lot of our IMU missionaries in particular, because it transcends language. Transcends culture, because you're able to really, you know, tell the story in a way that's appropriate for the people who are hearing it. But you can use these visuals to sort of help guide you as the storyteller, but also to help guide the minds of the people who are telling the stories too. And what I want to do, if you guys are willing, is split up into groups of two, pair up, and try to tell one of these stories using these resources. So what I'll do is I'll take this out here. Is everyone comfortable with that, first of all?
Sure.
Okay, you wouldn't tell me otherwise, would you? So what I'll do is I'll take out the section that you are in charge of, and what you'll do is we have in this resource the story written down for you. And what I'm encouraging you to do is to read it through three times. Read it through once to be familiar with it. Close your eyes, think about it, visualize it. Read it through twice, a little bit slower, a little bit more carefully, a little more about, you know, what details did I miss in my remembering of the first time. And then read it through a third time, very deliberately, and say, okay, what pieces of the story are the fundamental truths that I need to communicate to this group right here, eventually to your kids? And then what details really make this story unique. So we'll do that. Because I think one thing that happens with stories over time is if you're not careful, you will lose large chunks of the stories. And I know, like, we could probably just tell these stories just by looking at the pictures, but I'm not going to be able to remember all the detail that really is important to remember. So this is one way to take care of that. So what I'm going to do, so we'll give this to each of you. Okay. You'll pair up with your partner. One of you will be the storyteller, and one of you will be the story holder. You'll hold up the cloth and point. So if that's more of your spiritual gift, you can do that. If you're like me and don't necessarily care to speak in front of people. So, again, what we're going to do is we're going to read through this three times. So, and read through it out loud. Maybe the first time is in your own mind, but you got to be able to be comfortable saying it out loud. And as you're reading this, remember, you're encouraging your kids to also be storytellers as well. You're providing a mentor role for them. So we've got everybody here, though. Before we get started, if you're feeling a little bit nervous, this is what I want to say to you, nervous people. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not doing this by yourself. God is using you as a vessel to speak through, to be able to transmit a timeless truth about who He is and how He cares about us. Feeling powerful. It's not only to you, but you have the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that, it's going to start here, we're going to walk in order and go through, we're going to tell the story, okay? So we'll have our story cloth holder and our storyteller come up here and tell us the story. With the fire in the background, you're going to do great. Oh, this is the most important thing. You can do it.
Just a cheat sheet.
You can do it.
I wasn't going to read it. In the beginning, and the very, very beginning of the Bible, Jesus talks about how He created everything. The one and only God, there was nothing before He started. There was no sky, there was no ground. He created that, and He saw that it was good. He filled the sky with light. Well, the third insight, the first day was the sky and the water, maybe? Okay. We're going to go with sky and water for the second day. And the sky. I'm getting confused with the third day and the second day. The second day is animals? Is it the land animals?
You're going to do great. Don't worry.
Oh, it's just the space. Okay, the space. Thank you, Okay, He made the earth the first day. The second day, He made the space between the sky and the ground, which we all take for granted. We just think that He was there. We just think that the sky was there and that the ground was there, but He had to be created. God created it. The third day, He made the light and the darkness, the moon and the sun. And we just think, when we get up, when we get up, we just think it was always there, but it wasn't. It had to be created. God created it. He filled that space. He filled it with the birds and the ocean animals, and the things there that we take for granted. It was not there. And that's, I've got bogged down with that. It's just hard for our brains to comprehend the method. I can't understand that there was nothing. But the Bible is true. And we understand that we have human brains, and that is just the way that it is. And I shouldn't know this, I shouldn't know these things. He made the seeds, He made the ground to grow things. He made, there's a lot of days here to just be seven. The birds.
We don't remember the order either.
So there we go. Yeah. Every type of animal. He made the humans. He made us. He made us from pieces. Adam, He just kind of put there. He made him, but then He made us from pieces of Adam, the rib. And of course, the last day He rested.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Next group, y'all ready? Here we go. That was wonderful.
I can do this.
got this.
Okay, so God made Adam and Eve. He put Adam and Eve in charge of everything that he had previously made.
We just learned that last week.
Adam and Eve were put in charge of everything that he created, and God made this beautiful, lush garden for Adam and Eve to live in. And every day that they got to just eat of the delicious fruits from all the trees in the garden that they were privileged to walk in every day. However, the God had told them that there was one tree that had fruit that they were not allowed to eat from. Now this particular tree, the fruit on that tree, would allow Adam and Eve to know the difference between good and evil. So they were blessed to have been able to live in this garden, and they could eat freely of any of the fruits of the other trees in the garden. There was even a stream that flowed through this garden. And the best thing about the garden was that God walked every evening with Adam and Eve in this garden. So they lived happily, taking care of the garden. One day that serpent came in, and he spoke to Eve. And he says, "Did God really tell you that you can't eat any of the fruits on the trees of this garden?" And she says, "Oh no, God didn't tell us we couldn't eat any of the fruits on the trees. There's just one tree in particular we can't eat the fruit off of, that tree." And the serpent says, "Well, surely you don't believe that. God didn't say that, right? He just doesn't want you to be wise like you. Because you'd be like God if you would eat this fruit." So Eve got to really thinking about that, and she said, "You know, that fruit does look really delicious." So one day she reached out her hand, she took a fruit off of that tree, and she bit into it. And then she looked at it. And immediately they knew that they had done wrong, and they were ashamed. They knew that God was going to be coming to walk with them that evening in the garden. So they were ashamed, and they said, "How are we going to hide from him? We don't want to talk with him today because we've done it wrong. We've done what he told us not to do." So they found some fig leaves and they tried to cover themselves to hide from God. Well, God arrived that evening as usual, and he asked them, Where are you, Adam and Eve? And finally, he saw them and he says, "Have you done what I told you not to? Have you eaten off of that fruit?" And yes, they did. They were remorseful. Well, he had to punish them, so they were no longer allowed to live in the garden. And they had to work very hard from that day forward. But God didn't stop loving them. He promised them that he would continue to love them, and that he would one day send a rescuer that would save them.
Next group.
Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain was the oldest, and he took care of sheep. He raised the sheep. Abel was the younger, and he was a farmer. Did I get them backwards? Okay, so Abel was the
shepherd,
and Cain raised the crops. Okay, so anyway, they brought their gifts to God, and God was pleased with Abel's, but he was not pleased with Cain's. And Cain got mad because God wasn't pleased with him, and he was happy. And God said to Cain, "Why are you so angry? If you had done what was right, I would have been pleased." So Cain was so mad, and he went out, and him and his brother went out, and he killed his brother. And God said, "What have you done, Cain?" And because he had killed his brother, God says, "I'm going to have to punish you." And God says, "You will go out, and your crops won't grow anymore. And you would be a homeless wanderer." And Cain was like, "God, that's too much punishment. I won't be able to handle that." And God, in his grace, he still loved him, even though he had done wrong. And he gave him the grace. He said, I will put a mark on you so that no one will kill you, and that you will be safe, and I will protect you. And Adam and Eve had another son. Because when that happened, then Cain went away. So they had not only lost Cain because of what he had done, but their son had been killed. And again, in God's grace, he gave them Seth. And Seth had a son named Noah.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so many years after Adam and Eve and Abel lived, there was a man named Noah, and Noah loved God, and he obeyed God. And everybody else in the world besides Noah and his family, there are lots of people living in the world, and everybody else disobeyed God, and they were very wicked. And they just did whatever they wanted to do, and Noah and his family stood out because they loved and obeyed God. And so God decided to destroy the world with flood. And he wanted to save Noah and his family. And so he told Noah to build a big old ark, a big old boat that would fit all of the animals on the earth and his family. And so Noah obeyed God again, and he made the big boat. And then once the two animals of each kind, you see those two giraffes in there, and those two lions, I think, and some birds. So once he got two by two of every animal in the boat, the Lord sent the rain. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights.
Okay, after 150 days, Noah sent out a raven to see if it was dry. And he was not able to find land. And then after 7 days, Noah sent out a dove. And he too was not able, he came back with an olive branch in his mouth. So it was getting dry out there, but he still came back because he wanted to know if he could make his home. Another 7 days, Noah sent him out, and he didn't return, and he was dry. So Noah and all of his three boys and their wives and his wife, you know, the ark, and they built an altar for the Lord, and praised God for his deliverance. And God put a promise in the sky, the rainbow, both for them and for himself, that he would never destroy the earth by flood again. And he told them to go and multiply before he could do that. So you see how God keeps his promises and he cares for his people.
Say we learned from y'all because y'all knew the boat didn't swear that
we took that.
We didn't.
God told Abram to leave the land where he and his family and neighbors lived and go to the land that he was going to show him. So Abram took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, and he traveled where God told him to go. He traveled to the land of Canaan, and while they were in Canaan, God said, "This is the land that I'm going to give you and your family." And God talked to Abram, and there Abram built an altar where God talked to him. He passed through Canaan and kept traveling where God told him to go, and God told them, "I am God, your protector. And one day, I'm going to give you this land, and you're going to have a great reward." And Abram told, asked God, "How can that be? Sarai and I have no children." And he said, "Look up at the stars. You can't even count them all. That's how many descendants you're going to have." And he looked up at the sky and the stars. And that's a little bit hard to believe, but Abram trusted God and believed God. So he continued on. And one day, God appeared to Abram and told him that you are going to have many children. And one day, I'm going to give you that land of Canaan, and many of your descendants will live there forever and ever. And so Abram trusted God and obeyed God. And God had told him, I am the strong God, obey me. And Abram did what God asked him to do. So when God was talking to him, Sarai overheard this and she kind of laughed because she and Abram were old and she didn't believe or had a little bit of doubt that God might do this. But God said, this time next year, you're going to have a son and you're going to call him Isaac. I'm going to give you a son. And Abram believed God. At that point, God changed their names from Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah. And in 1 year, exactly what God said would happen, happened. Sarah had a baby and they named him Isaac. And God did give them the land of Canaan. And even today, many Hebrews and Jews still live in the land of Canaan, which God promised.
That was great, guys.
We have a bunch of storytellers in this room. And you'll notice that each group had their own unique take on it. Each storyteller had their own voice, their own unique voice, and each story holder had their own unique way to tell the story as well. And that's important. That's a good thing. If we all look the same, if we all talk the same, the children that you're going to be speaking to are all different. And they need to see all these different voices, examples for them. And what better way to tell these kind of truths to them than through a story? You know, I think a lot of times we get complacent with reading curriculum. And curriculum is great. I mean, whether it be Awana or Teen Kid or one of the organizations that we support at National WMU, it's fantastic stuff. But kids, they don't always want their face buried in a magazine, you know, having to read these different things. They want to hear you tell it from your heart. But by using resources like this, you can make sure that what you're telling from your heart is as accurate as can be, because those details do matter. So thank you for joining me on that journey. Another thing that's important to do while you're telling these stories to your children is to tell your own story. You know, that's something that's not scripted. It's something that you've, I guess, written script as you've lived it. And that's the story of your own testimony and how God has worked in your life, how you became a Christian, how you have met Jesus, you know, how you developed a relationship. But then also, yeah, what God has been doing in your life since that time. It's important for kids to hear those stories as well, because they need to start identifying and connecting those dots in their own lives also. And again, maybe not all of us feel comfortable speaking in front of groups. Maybe not all of us are comfortable sharing these kind of stories, but it's vital. It's absolutely vital and important. Because what you're doing is you're sharing an example for these kids to learn about, but you're also empowering them to go out and tell their own stories. And think about if you had told one of these stories on Wednesday night or Sunday morning, how cool it would be if that story stuck with those kids and they were able to tell us all week to their friends at school. It'd be amazing. One more thing about this resource, if you guys will open up, you should have a catalog that we handed out to you. It looks like this. It's got this really bright green thing on the bottom. You'll open up to page 55. You'll see a little bit more information about the Tell the Story resource. This really is a great way to connect stories of Bible with your kids, and in a way that I think will really stick with them for the long haul. It has the story block that comes with it, so you've got the visual, but if you already have this for whatever reason, make sure that you check out the resources that come along with this. The guided storytelling, like what we used just now. You can read through that, in 15 minutes before you meet with your kids, and you're able to tell a very accurate depiction of this Bible story. I'm not trying to push any products here. I'm just trying to tell you there are resources that can help you accomplish this work. I've seen a lot of groups with children use this. I've also seen a lot of groups with special needs folks using this, all the way up into adult years. But the visuals are really important, and I think I've seen it done different ways where they'll have a whole box so they can see the whole story all at once. I've seen people cut it into sections and then sort of only show those pictures a little bit at a time. This one special needs class that I'm thinking of, they would take each lesson and then they would hang it up on the wall in a picture frame so that at the end of the year they could look back and tell all those stories throughout the whole year, which I thought was great, but they're only taking it a little piece at a time, you know, so it's not so overwhelming. Another thing that's cool about this is that it also exists in Espanol. Diga la historia. So, tell the story again in Spanish. I think that this is a great resource for folks. You know, if you have ESL classes that you're working with, I know last night there was a lady who takes care of kids while the parents are taking classes. I think this is great if you're comfortable telling the story. Because again, the stories are true in any language, but in this language, you can reach some people that would otherwise be able to. Are there any questions or any other thoughts that we want to bring to the table? Any insights? Have you told stories in your groups, and tell me how that's gone? What have been some challenges that you've experienced?
Well, with GAs, I know sometimes
you
hear people say, well, our kids aren't getting Bibles, and not being used a lot of things to carry the curriculum. But we do continue to say Bible lessons. And I never skip that. For some reason, we have a Wednesday that we don't meet. And that was the week that we signed for the office where I didn't skip it. But I have found that what I do is I just share from my heart. It is very easy when you get caught up in looking at the story. But I know the last time that we had a story for it was also just a snippet of the whole story. But I just, it's four chapters. So from my heart, I shared the story through. And it was very much a teachable time for the Bible to be singing this about, you know, it's a love story. And the kinsman redeemer, that part of the story is very often left out when we have children's curriculum to talk about that. But this guy's provision of that, anyway, it doesn't take a minute. You can share the whole story of Esther from your heart. It's short. Share that from your heart.
How many stories are in that curriculum?
So this has, and let me give you the right number, this has 40 chronologically arranged Bible story sessions and 60 activities that kind of go along with it. So if you're looking for just the story, you have that there as a resource, but then there's also these activities and stuff. That's pretty helpful. And then there's also 5-day Bible story telling plans for like mission trips or backyard Bible school type stuff if you want to do that as well. So I think it's a helpful resource if you want. Anybody else? Anybody else from personal experience storytelling?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mission trips,
we would
take like a Sunday school trip.
Yeah.
And we would use that in teaching the lessons. And that's a good resource because, you know, most churches will have some left over that you can just get that and you don't have to spend money for it.
Yeah.
Sunday school is always good for sharing.
Just a little quick thing. Station Vacation High School, they had the kindergarten and first graders a couple years ago, and at that age, they're just this is the meaning or hearing anything that's being said because you're trying to corral like 30 children in the classroom for, you know, 15 minutes of Bible study. Anyway, one of the lessons we got was about Jesus and the disciples, and anyway, it had something to do with both. So we were trying to have a recap last night, and in front of the church, one of the kids said, okay, all of a sudden we're just thinking they weren't answering any of the questions, so I'm just getting so discouraged. They haven't been listening to anything. Nothing has sunk in. Well, these kids started telling the story. It's like, not only were they on the boat, but they had fishing poles. Where did that come from? So then I started wondering, what are the adults going to think that I've been teaching this week? Anyway, just a detail.
Yep.
Somewhere along the lines, they were listening because they remembered the story about the boat. They remembered the water. They add a little to it. That's how they fish. That's how they fish.
They don't fish with nets these days.
That makes sense. That's cute.
That's what's been the only thing about on the boat. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that was totally.
One thing that's important when you're telling stories is to set the mood. That kind of sounds weird. Set the moment. I'm trying that with this campfire line. Setting a moment, setting something aside to say, okay, out of our daily routine, out of our normal schedule, we're doing something special right now. And this is going to be something that maybe you have them sit in a different area, or you like dim the lights and have some sort of, you know, fire fake thing, you know, that you're just gathering around. Just to sort of, set it apart from the normal routine. Everybody sticks with kids too. I think another thing that's important is to encourage them to tell the stories. So you model that for them, but then maybe within even the second lesson, give them a chance to tell that story back to their friends.
Where we've told them, where we actually know the lesson ahead of time, and we have little strips of paper, and we give them each child a paper. Because we have active children, they wouldn't sit. Lucky they'd be finding something to do. So in order to incorporate and get them involved, wherever the story, for example, if their one strip of paper for our lesson could have been count the number of stars. Well, sometimes we have props and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we allow them to have them. It depends. But anyways, when it came that time of the story, and that would be my little strip, and I would be talking, they would actually have to stand up and do something that would require them to be looked like I was doing with their walking or whatever. Right. And so they would be like looking up or looking like start, you know, with their telescope or, you know, like looking at the stars during that time. And then when they would go to the next one, they would sit down and the other person would wait, you know, for the next. And it would involve them. And people were just like curious as to see who's going to be next to find out what's going to come next in the story. So
that's great.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know if they'll use this trick or not, but we have this thing where we tell stories sometimes, and we have a key set of words. Like if I say God, anytime I say the word God, we point up, you know. Mm-hmm. So that keeps them in check too, because I'll say, and you know, when God, and then everybody will look around and say, oh, we're supposed to, you know, point up God. It keeps them focused on
And each group is different. I mean, sometimes, oral storytelling is great for certain groups. I think it does connect with most children. But sometimes you got to incorporate a movement. You got to incorporate, you know, them responding in some way. I think that's good. One thing that I've found that really works, and y'all probably have done this too, is as you're telling the story, they draw out the story while they're listening. Because I don't know about y'all, but when I'm sitting in a sermon, I love to doodle. And usually I'm drawing something that is about what I'm listening to, usually. But it really helps me apply the story in a way that really sinks into me. I'm not a great note taker. I don't really like doing that kind of thing. But I'll draw a picture. You know, it doesn't look great. But it does communicate something to me. I think that's important. Another thing, while they're telling the stories themselves, let them get up and draw a picture and say, you know, you can use this as a resource if you want to with the, you know, story block. Let them draw it out as it's happening. And the thing is there, you got to sometimes reel them in because they might get a little silly, a little bit crazy. But with some practice, I think you could be really.
I had 3, 4, 5 year olds in Sunday school this past Sunday. Priscilla.
Oh, yeah, good.
She had takers. So I just whipped my linen closet before church and up. Grab this pile of sheets, and my husband said, "Where are you going?" I said, "We're going to do the kids."
That's cool.
And so, but we just took the chairs, and I had them each to build there. They had such a good time.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I'm like, well, kids this day don't do stuff like that.
That's right.
There's too much other stuff.
I mean, we used to do that. We just play with big tents all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, something about doing something like that that encourages their imagination in a way that an iPad or something just doesn't do. You know, that's really cool.
4 and 5 year olds in
this
literature is really great. She does the acting thing with her class and folks too, but then she's also in the story. So when she was doing the story of Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem, she was the donkey, and she led
My daughter got to sport boats all the time. Mary, get on her back. And Luke, the other little boy, that was, you know, he got to be walking right alongside as she's down on the floor. And I mean, I just think the best teacher I'm afraid of is looking silly or being physically involved.
Yes. You got to open up yourself to be vulnerable. Otherwise, I mean, kids can see through you. You know, if you're not being genuine, They're not. Because it is all about building those relationships, like we talked about. It's about connecting personally. It's about eye contact. It's about getting some of those interviews.
I was just going to say, you touched on the repeating of a story. I think one thing that God's just made me so aware of over the last decade or so is that the stories are not just to complete a checklist and we told the story check, but we're really communicating the living and so Zachariah's point about having the kids retell the story, that's how we're sharing the gospel with people. We're sharing the truth out of God's word. So if our kids can learn the story that we're doing in Sunday school or GARA, Moana, whatever it is we're doing, the point is that first of all, they have an encounter with God. So are we asking questions that get to the heart of what God wants to get at? Or are we just saying who is in the story? Like you can ask questions that are real basic, and hello, it's Abraham and Sarai. Okay, good, now let's go do the Play-Doh or whatever. But we missed the whole point of the fact that God can be trusted, that God gave a command, that they obey. So we ought to be asking the kids questions about the story that have to do with who God is and how people responded to him, and now what do you think God is expecting of you? I mean, I just tell the story of Abram that I just read. I never caught this before. I've read the story a bunch. In fact, we're going through Genesis in Sunday school. Don't tell me that I missed this. But I missed the fact that God took Abram through Canaan and then brought him back. Like he was taking him somewhere else, but he took him through the land that he was promised. He said, this is it. This is the land I'm promising you. And he eventually got back there, but that wasn't initially where God took him. But he trusted him the whole time. So there's all kind of things we can talk about, but, you know, as wanting our churches to be strong and wanting the future of the church to be strong, I think we miss it if we don't challenge our kids to think about who God is and how to respond to him, and then telling that story so other people can have a chance to respond to God. Because we respond, you know, through many different ways, but one of the big ways is through hearing the truth of God's word. So if we're not challenging our kids to tell the story, I mean, I just don't know what we're doing on Sundays and Wednesdays if we're not challenging our kids to be on mission in their own life. Because they're in classes with boys and girls that we'll never have access to, but they do. And they have family members and friends we'll never have access to, but they do. And all through the Bible, God spoke to children. He spoke to teenagers. There were children who became kings. Mm-hmm. So I think we just think, oh, when they get older, we'll make sure they know all this. No, we need to be doing it now because they have influence now where they are. So I really appreciate the repeating the story and teaching our kids to tell the story. Because that's really when we go to church, we can't repeat and tell what we've got now. Like, I don't know why we're going.
Well,
we need
to make sure they understand the story. Just like with Cain and Abel. He was upset and pouting and all that, and related back to that. Have you ever gotten upset with your parents or because of a brother and sister about something you didn't think? And, you know, how did you get punished? You know, they still loved you. God looks the same way. You know, there's a way, like you said, to teach them that God's loveless, give us grace, and all those things. So it's not just a story, but it's relatable to them.
Yeah. They've told these stories happen in the time and place, but they've been told for thousands of years because they are so applicable to us today. I think it's important to our imagination. Our time is up, but one last thing I want to leave you with is you're telling these stories in the hopes of transforming the lives of the children that you interact with, but I also hope that you see it as an opportunity to transform yourself as well. Through repetition, through actually telling these things, you're changing something in your own heart. And as you are a vessel for these stories, you are going through this thing as well. So just be attuned to that and be open to what the Spirit is trying to do for you. Thank you all so much for joining us today, and I hope you have a great rest of your day and good rest of the time.
Thank you.
Oh, I have my card if you guys want to.